Hi, everybody. Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer, and questioning communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, our guests are Rowan Gomez Ornelas and Sid Somerville Ornelas, partners and parents of two adult children.
Rowan and Sid met in the early days of the internet, and they both worked in the computing industry, helping to build the world we all live in now. In the past, they imported art pieces from Zimbabwe and used the profits to fund college attendance for people from those villages that produce the works of art.
Currently, Sid is leading courses for the National Alliance of Mental Illness, and Rowan is an educator and advocate for the LGBTQIA+ community. Together, they are developing therapeutic and recreational drum circles for trauma survivors in the community.
Hello, Rowan.
Pleasure to be here.
Hello, Sid.
Thanks for having us on today.
We are really looking forward to speaking with you in more detail and learning more about your lives and your relationship. But first, here's news and events with Outbeat member and our engineer,
Greg Maralia.
This is Greg Maralia with your Outbeat Radio news for the week of August 6th, 2023. An alarming 81% of transgender adults have considered suicide, this according to a new study from the UCLA's Williams Institute. Comparatively, it found that 35% of cisgender adults have considered suicide. This first-of-its-kind study, which appeared in this month's edition of the Journal of Psychiatric Research, examined the prevalence of serious drug use, psychological distress, and suicidality among a nationally representative sample of transgender and cisgender adults. The study took its data from the Transgender Population Health Survey. Overall, trans people say they were significantly more likely to experience poor mental health during their lifetime than cis people. However, 82% of transgender adults said they had sought mental health treatment at some point, compared to just 47% of cisgender adults. While transgender and cisgender adults both reported similar rates of hazardous drinking and problematic drug use, transgender and non-binary adults reported the highest rates of substance abuse. One of the study's authors, Ivan Meyer, said that, quote, "a lack of societal recognition and acceptance of gender identities outside of the binary of cisgender men and women and increasing politically motivated attacks on transgender individuals increased stigma and prejudice and related exposure to minority stress, which contributes to the high rates of substance abuse and suicidality we are seeing among transgender people," end quote. And in New York, a gay man died after being stabbed during an altercation with a group of young men this last Saturday night at a Brooklyn gas station. The New York PD's Hate Crime Task Force is currently investigating the crime. According to New York's PIX 11, the victim, O'Shea Sibley, arrived at the mobile gas station in Brooklyn's Midwood neighborhood around 11:15 p.m. He and four friends, all shirtless and wearing swim trunks, were dancing outside their car while waiting to fill it up, while another group of men exited the station's convenience store and began harassing them. Surveillance video of the altercation shows Sibley in light pink shorts and friends exchanging heated words with the young men, one of whom can be seen recording the interaction with his phone. Sumi Ula, who witnessed the encounter, told the New York Daily News, quote, "from what I think, it looks like a hate crime." Ula reportedly tried to defuse the situation, but the group of young men continued to harass Sibley and his friends as they were trying to leave. According to PIX 11, a witness said the suspect may have also made anti-LGBTQ+ comments. Sibley's group returned to the storefront to confront the other group, and that's when the fight broke out between Sibley and the man recording on his phone. The suspect stabbed Sibley in the torso and then ran off. He was rushed to a medical center nearby where he passed away. And in Key West, a drag performer is running to unseat a Republican in the Florida state legislature, where GOP lawmakers have spent the last couple of years pushing their blatantly anti-LGBTQ+ agenda under Governor Ron DeSantis. The Florida Politics reports that Michael Elgin Travis is filed to challenge the incumbent, State Representative Jim Mooney, a two-term Republican who represents Florida House District 120. Travis said he decided to run for office after traveling to Tallahassee along with hundreds of other drag performers and supporters in April to participate in a march and rally against Florida's Senate Bill 1438. That was the bill that DeSantis signed into law last May, which allows the State Department of Business and Professional Regulations to revoke the business licenses of any venue that allows minors to see, quote, lewd performances, even if their parents consent. And while this law doesn't specifically mention drag, it has been interpreted as targeting drag shows and performers, which anti-LGBTQ plus Republicans have characterized as, quote, sexually explicit adult entertainment, end quote. And here locally, the Roanoke Park Department of Public Safety, that's the city's police and fire departments, received a national accreditation for their new LGBT law enforcement community liaison program. Roanoke Park is the first department in California and second in the nation to receive such honors. Community Engagement Officer Jennifer Pritchard built the program with the support of Chief Tim Mattos and Deputy Chief Kevin Kilgore. As part of the process, Ms. Pritchard completed a 24-hour certified training course. To receive accreditation, the department had to demonstrate meeting a set of six standards. A peer review team of experienced liaisons from agencies across the U.S. reviewed the application and evidence submitted by the department. The outstanding parts of the program include Roanoke Park's new Safe Place program. Sonoma County has one of the highest populations of LGBTQ plus people per capita in the nation, but so far Roanoke Park is the only law enforcement agency in the county to formally establish an LGBT liaison program. For Outbeat Radio News, I'm Greg Moralia.
And welcome back. If you just joined us, this is Living Proof with Diana and Sheridan. And tonight, our guests are Rowan Gomez Ornelas and Sid Somerville Ornelas. And we want to thank you again for giving your time in your very busy schedules. So Rowan, why don't you begin and tell us a little bit about yourself, your passions, your work, what you do in the world?
Well, people are often interested to know that I grew up on a carnival. My parents traveled with the carnival in the South in the 60s. So we traveled through a lot of the civil rights movement unfolding right before our eyes in some places where it wasn't unfolding very smoothly. But I got a love for travel and I came to California. The Navy brought me out here and I just love it. All the things I love are in California, including my beautiful bride, our kids and cats and that kind of thing. So I've got a master's degree in consciousness and transformative studies from John F. Kennedy University, which sounds really obscure, and that's because it is. But
what is it? Tell us about it. What is it?
Well, if you think of like psychology is how people think in a way that's healthy or not healthy or to be more healthy or whatever. But consciousness looks at who is examining who's thinking. It's like, where does our impulse to study the universe come from? And what does it look like? So all the different ways that people, not just the content of studying the universe and ourselves and lives and philosophy and all of that, but the phenomenon itself of being matter that thinks about itself, part of the universe that thinks about the universe. So that's my degree.
Wow, that's deep.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I guess that's a pretty good summary. I worked in IT for quite a while and had my hand in some of the early internet things, and then sort of semi-retired. My undergrad is theater, so I do, in addition to computer stuff and lofty matters of philosophical import, I also like corny comedy and theater improv and Shakespeare and all that kind of stuff. I was on the production team for a Shakespeare festival up in that farther north in California for about 5 years.
Well, I'm intrigued with you saying that you were raised in a carnival.
Yeah.
That is a very interesting way to be raised as a child. And I'm wondering if you could tell us like maybe a story or two about what you remember as a kid. And secondly, how that impacted you and influenced you as an adult.
Well, like anything, the way you grow up as a child, that's normal, what happens to you in your daily life. So what was normal for us is for 9 or 10 months of the year, we would only be in any given city for a week or two. So we would visit 20 or 30 cities in a summer. And that was normal. You know, I lived in hotel rooms or motel rooms or for a while, we had a trailer, and that was just normal. So when we finally landed and my dad retired from that business, having friends that had only ever lived in West Palm Beach, it was weird. I didn't know how to relate to them, nor they to me, because for them, they just always lived there. And I'm like, you know, I'm always finding myself as a newcomer, as a child, in a lot of different ways. And so it gave me a curiosity for and an openness to all the different ways that people can be. My family literally was friends with circus performers, some of whom we would now think of it as pejorative, but there were people that had disabilities that could be flamboyantly presented, and people would come in and pay the money. So that's how some of these folks, that was their livelihood. But for us, they were just neighbors. They were just coworkers. They were just folks next door. So for me, the whole idea of people being discriminated against racially or due to religion or due to sexual orientation or anything, it at a fundamental level, it's like so weird. Why would anybody choose to engage in these prejudices? But, you know, it makes me kind of the oddball everywhere I go, but hopefully in a good way. And I can always be counted on for a story about how they do that differently in a different state or region or place in the country. For example, most people call soft drinks, you'll say Coke or Pepsi, or you say soda or pop. My mother's from Massachusetts and they call it tonic. So if she wants a tonic, that means she wants a Coke.
Before we get to Sid, I'm curious about school. How did you study?
I went to 9 different elementary schools, 3 high schools. I've been to 7 colleges. So all of it was just along the way. My mom taught me to read when I was 5, and I was always bored in school. I usually had a book under the desk, which some teachers loved and some teachers hated. But again, I'm not someone who necessarily studies things in a linear way. I do it however I do it. And fortunately, like I say, my mom blessed me with the gift of reading early and how to work my way around a library. So I can learn different things in my profession, in my career, or just for recreation. I can do that, you know, kind of on my own. I'm not a very good student, however, because I'm not very good for making my way through other people's structured pedagogies.
Yeah, there's so many other questions we're going to ask around that, Rowan, but we want to get to Sid, just to hear your voice, Sid. So tell us a little bit more about you.
Yeah, I'm a native Bay Arean, born in San Francisco and raised some in the North Bay, Marin, and a lot in the East Bay, and have stayed except for a brief decade. I've been here all that time. It sort of was a mistake when we moved away, and we're so very glad to be back in the region. I was not one of my friends who went directly to college out of high school. I went directly to work. And the day I turned 18, my mom moved out of the apartment we lived in and said, okay, you have the rest of the month to find another place to live. I'm like, yeah, okay. So being 18, I moved in with my boyfriend into San Francisco from Oakland. And my work life has been mostly really easy and blessed from one to the next. And I found I was super skilled at compliance. So I excelled in administrative positions. And if you need a form filled out where all the boxes are checked out correctly, that's one of the things I do. Working on state compliance for managemental health care was one of the first things I did with an amazing man when managemental health care was new when I started working. And so we were instrumental in developing the standards and regulations for that. But then I did find my way from that job into the world of the internet in mid-90s. And those great, great, great startups that were so fun to be at because everything was cutting edge. And the company where I worked called Silicon Reef was among the very cutting edges, where we did the first live broadcast of the Webby Awards, the first live broadcasts of rock concert, and a whole interactive event called Webstock 96, and had about a dozen things that had never been done before. And at that company, I started as the 7th employee, and by the time I left, we had completed a merger and were 300 in a 4.5-year period. And I did everything there except the coding, the technology, and the marketing. So I was in finance, I was in HR, I was in operations, I was in the executive admin level. And gosh, was it fun. And we didn't mean it to be built so commercially as it's turned out. Some of the stuff that the internet is today is like sad. It's sad because it was built for, from my perspective, for the interaction, the connection, being able to learn whatever you wanted to learn and connect to whoever you wanted to connect with. So that's my big background story. Once we had kids, I did move into the education field. So I've had sort of three careers and worked in the business offices of two charter schools that my kids were attending. So that worked out nicely for us, that I could be close to them and still working.
Did you have to go to school to go toward education, or it just was fluid?
It was fluid, and I did a lot of training. So once I started working in the school, I'm like, all right, what do I need to know? My history let me teach myself a lot of what was necessary, but the specifics to public education in California, I did have to go, you know, linked with finances. I had to go see what the regulations were. I learned a lot, the differences between corporate finance and public education finance. They are not the same. And some things that seemed fine, they weren't. So like, oh, I better, you know, make sure I do this the right way for the conversation I'm in now, right?
Wow, I'm just really admiring both of you, because you're so active and you just kind of, if there's a path, you just go for it. You know, you don't like hesitate. So that's really wonderful that you have that together. You know that you have that together. How does that work together as a partnership?
Mostly well. We have some interesting differences. So being the compliance expert, I'm like heads down and I'm thinking something very linear. You heard Rowan say not linear learner or thinker. And because of some of Rowan's Navy background, we talk in images a lot and try to understand each other in images. So I'm like the big aircraft carrier. We're bearing straight ahead, and it takes a lot to get me to turn off path.
Yeah, but thousands of people are being fed, housed, medicine, the lights are on,
yeah.
The mission is going, everything, the enterprise is humming.
Right, the enterprise is humming.
With you as the captain.
And then Rowan is one of the tomcats that shoots off the top and forays out. What's ahead? What's out there? Exploring everything, and comes back and excitedly tells me all these great things. I'm like, well, I'm doing this now. You have to give me some minutes to adjust. You need to tell me 3 weeks ago I have to start turning. So some conflict happens in that realm sometimes, but once we started to be able to describe it that way, I go, oh good, you're going to get new information, great. I'll be ready. So we've learned ways to really work with our differences.
Yeah, just that thing of how she is linear structured, very much on track. And I'm the one who kind of runs around. So she'll go from A to B to C to D. And I'm the one that's all over the alphabet. Go, when we get to L, we're going to take a left.
Like, what?
She'll go, L? Well, tell me later.
So how long have you been together?
Yeah.
We were looking at the calendar last night, 28 years, almost exactly.
Yeah.
Married for 26 on August 9th.
Oh, coming up, anniversary. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Our anniversary is August 9th, and my birthday is the 12th, and hers is the 16th. So it's a week apart. We have one week where we don't have to worry about forgetting.
Wow, all the fun stuff is in August for you both. That's wonderful. So tell us how you met and that whole beginning.
There was a company called Landmark Education. I guess there still
is.
I think
it still is, yeah.
And they did like sort of personal self-development, personal growth seminars and stuff like that. Not only did I travel for the carnival, but sometimes I traveled a lot for work. And I met a woman in Houston, Texas, who told me she was amazing. She was on time for a meeting and she was talking funny. And she said, I hope you'll excuse me. I was stung by a wasp, but I'm very, very allergic and I need to go to the emergency room as soon as we're done talking. And I was like, what are you even doing talking? She says, well, I was committed to this and I, you know, wanted to respect your time. So I, you know, I'm here and I'll hand you over to Cindy in exactly 9 minutes. And that's when my husband's going to take me to the emergency room. And I'm like, wow. And I was so amazed by being able to stay on task like that. And I said, as she was leaving, I said, how do you do that? And so she sent me to Landmark, and Sid was leading, helping lead an introduction, sort of a registration event. Yeah. So long story short, I volunteered there and I got to know Sid a little bit. And she said she had earmarked me as a possible suitor. And at a certain point, I didn't realize that she had jiggled the schedule so that I was assisting an event that she was leading. But then I asked her for a ride home, and she was like, I only live a mile from here. And I was like, well.
In so San Francisco, yeah. I lived a mile away from the event in San Francisco, and Rowan lived in Oakland.
Yeah.
And wanted me to drive them home. I never said no. And so Rowan kept asking.
But charmingly.
Charmingly. Yeah, it wasn't creepy at all. I mean, it was like the humor thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was like, you really could just drop me at the BART.
Right. I drove Rowan home that night, and we sang Bohemian Rhapsody across the Bay Bridge, driving over loud. And then they were living in a old Victorian, like, was it 1905? 1885 Victorian, was on the old Borax estate, balcony out the back, two cats, a bookshelf in the foyer. And we sat down in the foyer for a good hour and a half talking about all the books in the bookshelf.
This is the first night, the first time you drove Rowan home.
Yeah.
You sang the Bohemian Rhapsody, and then after you dropped Rowan off, you were there for an hour and a half on the balcony.
Yeah. It was pretty special. And I was in charge of some of the training that Rowan was in, and I was leading the statistics piece of it. And Rowan doesn't like statistics. So I said, you know, let me come over here and train you about how to do the statistics and what they're about. So that was sort of our first date a couple weeks later, maybe 3 weeks later. And then that was one of those 24-hour, you know, up all night talking and...
About statistics?
Not entirely, no.
Oh, God, no.
No, that was maybe an hour getting through it. Rowan suffering my explanation of why they mattered and how to track them accurately. And then we, you know, went on to things like the carnival and, you know, growing up, what was life like?
Yeah, and all the books.
Yeah.
And the cats.
Yeah.
So what was the attraction? What made it work? Rowan says you were pushy.
Yeah, since Rowan was pushing.
Since you needed a ride home, Rowan.
Okay. Well, first of all, in my defense, I will say that part of the curriculum itself was sort of being bold and not stopping. Now I would look at some of that and go, well, you know, where it comes to like a ride or a date or then, you know, stop much sooner. But at the time, that just wasn't in the vocabulary. And I wasn't doing anything that I thought was a breach of consent, including just take me to the train station, which, you know, it's just a few blocks. But it's late at night, and I, you know, it was like 11 at night. Anyway, though, Sid had just gotten back from a trip to Italy. I thought that was really cool because I'd been to Italy and I like travel. And she told me that while she was there, this one of the people she traveled with had asked her what she wanted in a relationship. And so she was sharing this as part of this meeting. And so I was ticking off boxes. Yeah. Okay. And then she dyed her hair red, which I love. So then I was like, all right, well, can you give me a ride home?
I fulfilled the criteria on your checklist. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the adventure began, you know, and it was there were a lot of ways in which you could say different in a way that has, you know, conflict, but complementary is just take us a while to figure out the puzzle of how the ways in which we are complementary can be a real strength.
Yeah. Well, the night at the introduction when Rowan came to learn about the program, they wore their leather jacket in. Honestly, I'm like, nice. And then the sharing during the evening, Rowan's intelligence and sense of humor is the biggest appeal, and the kind of funny that's so smart you have to be smart to understand what's funny. And I just loved that. And so wicked sense of humor, and with depth. We'll probably talk about later, but Rowan begins a lot of stories with, well, in the 1500s. And so, you know, like everything in life started in the 1500s, and you could, and So there's obviously more history than that, but so much going on, and the breadth of interests were also really fascinating. So it seemed to me that it was someone who I would not be bored with. And I was 28 at the time we met, I guess. And so I'd had some relationships that started out great, but then, you know, okay, ran their course pretty quickly. Like 2 years is probably the longest I had ever stayed in a relationship before that, before you. Yeah.
Well, thank you for that. We can't wait to hear more about you and your coming out and your transition and all of that stuff. But we have to break for a music break. And you brought a song. And then after the song, we're going to come back and get the lowdown on you both. So, Rowan, could you tell us about the song, the name, and who sings it and why it's important to you?
Well, the band is They Might Be Giants. And it's kind of a cult favorite, although it'll pop up in different places. And Sid and I both, one of our early loves in common, other than Cats, was They Might Be Giants. So we've seen their shows any number of times. And this song, She's an Angel, it was our first dance at a wedding. Well, it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
But our organizer didn't show up for the wedding.
Oh my goodness. My boss jumped in to try to help and set up all the audio equipment and couldn't find any instructions for our first dance song. So he put on
Unforgettable,
which was a great
beautiful
choice.
Beautiful song with the duet by Natalie Cole and Nat King Cole. Yes. Wonderful.
Mm, beautiful.
So, yeah. But we still in our hearts.
That was our first song, yes.
And when you hear the song, I think you'll get a sense. You know, it's someone who meets somebody who just amazes them and can't believe that they get to be with that person. So that's what that is.
All right, everybody. Enjoy She's an Angel by They Might Be Giants. And we will see you on the other side.
I met someone at the dog show. She was holding my left arm, but everyone was acting normal, so I tried to look nonchalant. We both said, I really love you. The Shriners loaned us cars. We raced up and down the sidewalk 20,000 million times. Why did they send her? Should I react? These things happen to other people. They don't happen at all. In fact, when you're following an angel, does it mean you have to throw your body off a building? Somewhere they're meeting on a pinhead, calling you an angel, calling you the nicest thing. I heard the head of space program when they sing, you can't hear, there's no. I think I kinda like that, and other times I think I'm already there. Gonna ask for my admission, gonna speak to the man in charge. The secretary says he's on another line, can I hold for a long, long time? I found out she's an angel, I don't think she knows I know. I'm worried that something might happen to me if anyone ever finds out. Why did they send her over anyone else? How should I react? These things happen to other people. They don't happen at all. When you're following an angel, does it mean you have to throw your body off? Building. Somewhere they're meeting on a pinhead, calling you an angel, calling you the nicest thing. I heard the head of space program when they sing, you can't hear, there's no air. Sometimes I think I kinda like that, and other times I think I am already there. When you're following an angel, does it mean you have to throw your body off a building? Somewhere they're meeting on a pinhead, calling you an angel, calling you the nicest.
And welcome back. This is Living Proof, and our guests are Sid and Rowan. And we were just talking about your wedding song that didn't get played as your first dance. And we just heard that. She's an Angel.
Beautiful.
Beautiful song. Thank you so much for bringing it. So let's talk a little bit about your transition, Rowan. When, why, how, et cetera. Give us your history.
For me, I just, you know, growing up all those different ways, there were a million ways that I wasn't like the other kids. But I really was very clear that I wasn't like the other boys. I wasn't exactly like the other girls, but I definitely wasn't like the other boys. It was always a struggle. It was always something I had to kind of craft pretending in such a way as had me not get my ass kicked. And, you know, being in the South, sometimes that was challenging. Sometimes I had to make sure your camouflage was on straight. So anyway, I didn't have anything like understanding, well, even gender. We didn't talk about gender. There's boys and girls. Basically, that's all there was, you know? And, Catholic, conservative, South, you know, Southern. But as I got older, I started to read like science fiction and so forth. And in fiction, there was speculation about different ways to do gender. And of course, in the meantime, there was a transformation, you know, second and third wave feminism, people fighting to be more than the gender role they had inherited. And we both really liked an album called Free to Be You and Me, which was a Marlo Thomas project. Than talking about just the ways, what if you just could be just yourself? And so then growing up, my dad died when I was 15, and I had to kind of double down on being a man. And so joined the Navy and did all kind of stuff, rode a motorcycle, had a leather jacket. And some of those things I found I genuinely enjoyed, but they were stereotypes of masculine pursuits. And then trying to be pretty discreet about having any feminine interests or proclivities whatsoever, trying to be very discreet about that. Wearing a bold pink shirt right now, and you know, when I was a child, I couldn't wear anything pink. If you had one pink thing, you were suspect and subject to a lot of scrutiny by other men, up to including violence. Inside of meeting the love of my life, however, and inside of the freedom from some of this inquiry from Landmark Education, you know, the freedom from the past, and meanwhile society coming along and me going from the idea that maybe I was transsexual, which seemed big and scary and surgical and medical and like all at once you had to go from A to B and you had to just be there. And that didn't appeal to me. But the concept of transgender, that you could be just know that you're not what they said you were when you were born and you were transgender. And then you could find your way through, you know, what did that mean for you? So that's been kind of the journey. And we had a little false start. Sid mentioned a time that we sort of left the Bay Area and we went up into the mountains. So I kind of put all that on hold. But the favorable winds blew good fortune, and I've been living openly as myself for 5 years. There's no other existence. Like some people have a second life. I don't have anything like that. I'm just Rowan, and I just dress how I dress, talk how I talk, and put as much or as little makeup as I want. Not that any of those things make a woman or a feminine spirit. But just to point to, if that's what society looks at, I just do what I please where that's concerned, and the freedom to just be myself. And when I get up in the morning, I just am myself. I refer to myself as a transgender non-binary woman or feminine person. And I use she and they pronouns. And even in the LGBTQ community, some of that is a little bit, I don't know, cutting edge exactly. But I'm in groups with older gay and lesbian folks for whom, well, I don't know, being bisexual was still a little bit controversial when they came out. Being transgender, what the hell? So being not just transgender, but not A to B, not M to F, but non-binary, genderqueer, gender fluid is still kind of new. I still have to be able to explain that. And fortunately, the gifts of my education and my vocabulary have given me the occasion to be able to explain it to people, hopefully in a way that makes a difference for others, opens the doors. And it's important to me that, just like anybody, you want the world to be better for your kids. You want the world to be better for successive generations. That for me, as a queer person, making sure that my visibility makes that difference, making sure that I am known, I am visible. For me, growing up, you were told that if you were gay, you had to go live in an alley and have illicit sex, and you're probably going to do a lot of drugs, and your family would never speak to you. And of course, that's still tragically, horribly true for many, many people, even here in California. But the idea that that is and should be something that fades into history, just like a lot of, you know, other social issues that we're working on. That's an important facet for me. There's just no thought of just transitioning privately, quietly, and living a, you know, hoping nobody notices. I'm going to be a little bit visible, and I'm going to try to make a difference because there's somebody out there that needs that. There's somebody out there that needs that example. They need that to see an adult with a credit card and a wife and all that, and just live in life. And then it hopefully will help them just the way that other people helped me by living their truth right out loud.
I love that. I love the authenticity in that. You're yourself and you've always been yourself, Rowan. But I'm thinking about the relationship you and Sid started. I know Sid was attracted to the leather jacket. I don't know if you still wear leather jackets, but you know, you say you had to play a part for a while when you went to the military and all of that stuff, right? So I'm just curious, Sid, how was that for you to go through this journey with Rowan?
Well, you know, we'll go back to that lovely album, Free to Be You and Me, which, you know, my conservative parents actually accidentally raised a flaming liberal by getting me that album, man, because everybody should be able to be just what they are. And I guess I listened to it for weeks on end. You know, I had a rec player in my bedroom and I listened to that album over and over and over. So when Rowan started talking about what they were dealing with, it was really not a big deal for me. And I've had people say, that's really unusual. Didn't you freak out? I'm like, I never have. Rowan should be who Rowan wants to be. I didn't pick gender. I picked spirit. You know, I picked the person, and the package is secondary to the content. And Rowan's essence hasn't changed. The thing that's different is Rowan is much more relaxed. And there are a lot of edges that I'd hit sometimes without knowing what it was. And then when the transition really started for Rowan medically with the hormone replacement and changing from a black wardrobe to a color wardrobe, it's been really, really nice. And she first went to the first real salon appointment and had her hair done by a professional, the cut, the color, and it's just like, wow, that is so great. And Rowan is a kind of girl that I am not. I am not a makeup, I am not a, let's talk about our feelings, girl. I'm like, no, can I go do the yard work now? Because I don't really want to talk about how you feel or how I feel about anything, okay?
I'm shocked. I don't know why. I feel shocked. I mean, seriously, I don't really know you, Sid. I don't know both of you. We know each other through drumming, but I don't know, for some reason I'm sitting here with my mouth open that you don't want to talk about feelings. Like, that's not your thing. You'd rather talk about.
Not mine.
Yeah.
I'll talk about somebody else's. And I'm super supportive of other people going through their emotional processes. I don't want to talk about mine. And Rowan's really close to me, so it's a little uncomfortable when Rowan talks about how they feel about stuff, especially when it's, you know, not that great of a conversation. Mm. If I did something that upset them, like, oh God, okay, hurry, get through it so I can, oh.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh God, yeah. You and Sid have a lot in common.
We have a lot in common, Sid.
Yeah. Rowan, right so, on.
It's a learned thing though. I mean,
it
if you're not taught how to talk about your feelings or how to be in touch with them,
never.
And then you have a partner who really wants to dig in there. And
I didn't even know my parents had feelings, right? Yeah. Yes. So Rowan has really brought a lot to me in sometimes really loving ways, and it's always loving, but sometimes it's really difficult for me. And owning the shadow side, like Rowan, this, when we were talking about who's more courageous, Rowan, like, head on. There's something going on. I'm going toward it. And I'm much more like, something happening? Oh, that's interesting. Well, I'm sure it'll work out. I'll be over here or working on the car. It doesn't matter. It's something else to distract me. So Rowan has really provided a lot for me in that, being courageous in that way, going inside and talking about addressing those things that aren't so great about us. And those of us who've lived through traumatic life experiences have some not great stuff that we needed to survive those times. So ruins provided that for me, and that it's important to look. Would my life be fine if I didn't? Probably, but less rich.
That's the word I was thinking about. And you said rich. Yeah. Thank you for that. What about your kids? How did kids come involved?
I have the best kids. they're 23, almost 24 and 20. And Samantha was our first. What to say about her? She just graduated from Berkeley with an anthropology degree and now is thinking of, she'd like to live out of her car for a little while and maybe work as a baker in a bakery. She's a tremendous baker. I mean, whew, crazy.
She's gone on like extended car camping trips.
Yeah.
Even during COVID, her trip to Europe, they all got canceled, wiped out. So she got in her car and drove to Idaho and just parked
up and around,
all through all the states, Idaho, Utah, Montana, Nevada, and just camped out of her car and went backcountry hiking by herself. So she's that kind of bold, undaunted. You know, right now she finds a lot of peace and comfort. Just drive into the West County, find some trees or something. You know, when we say we're proud of our child, wants to sleep in her car. I think that needs some explanation, but I really am. I'm really proud of her. She's a bold adventurer.
Yeah.
And she's also practical and, you know, very feet on the ground, but also head in the clouds. So I love her for that.
Yeah. And she's leaving in a month to go hike in Iceland, doing a hike there. And then Kieran is 20. He just moved out like 3.5-4 months ago. He's got a place in Santa Rosa. He is a conservationist, equally bold as his sister, has impressed us more than once, telling a boss that he wouldn't do something he didn't agree with. Boss wanted him to dig a trench to do wastewater out into a running creek. And he's like, I'm not doing that for you. When we picked him up that day, and we're like, you did what now? You said no, what? you still work there? Yeah. And he's just like has these principles, and he's 20 and he's idealistic and he's disappointed in everything, you know, and not exactly a Marxist, but he's like right where he should be in that fighting against capitalism.
You're right. Marx is a little conservative.
but compassionate and loving and in ways. Kieran, as a kid, you mentioned that you wouldn't wear anything pink as a kid. His favorite color was pink. And yeah. I was such a champion of that for him. I wanted him to have that broad expression.
What was his experience in school wearing pink to school being a boy?
Kindergarten and the other kid named Kieran. So somehow we thought we had this most amazing, unusual name. There was four in the school and one of them was in his grade. Kieran made fun of Kieran for having a pink clean canteen. And he carried it a little while longer, but then he abandoned it.
Yeah.
But it's a secret. We know his secret is he loves pink and he loves flowers.
But he's always been like, even he went to, you know, his other school, when he got to high school, he went through a whole phase of wearing suits and ties and wearing really, really bright, bold, gaudy, incredibly fluorescent clothing. So, I mean, he's like I did, I guess, adapting to the world of how you're going to be treated as a boy.
Yeah.
But he's still himself. He's still in there. He's still, you know, bold. He's not daunted, ultimately, I think. I hope.
Yeah, he's still cooking.
Well, your kids sound fantastic. Mm-hmm. Amazing kids. I hope we get to meet them sometime.
Yeah, I hope so too.
I'm curious how they were with your transition, Rowan. So Kieran was 5 years ago. He was 15. He's right in the middle of adolescence. I mean, and your daughter, Samantha, she wasn't much older than that. What, 5 years older? So she was in her, you know, early 20s. Yeah. How did that go for them and your relationship with them, Rowan?
Well, I'll put it plain. They inspired me. My children both are and have been very, very LGBTQ friendly. Their whole generation is so much more
really
than
different.
Mine was.
Yeah.
For me, we were lucky if you had friends that would accept you. And for them, if you are a jerk about it, your classmates will shut you down, not universally, but a lot more. So after a while, I'm like, wow, my kids are so bold. Why don't I learn from them and take their example a little bit? So far from shocking my kids, I remember I told my daughter, hey, I'm just kind of getting a little girlier over here. And she was like, cool. And that was it. And really, it was cool. It wasn't just, you know, teenage BS, you know? So
when you've gotten some wigs in the mail, you yeah. and she try them on together. We have this great photo series yeah. of them trying the wigs on yeah. Samantha with it and Rowan with it.
And, and she does amazing, like, you know, makeup and whatever, yeah. you know, how'd you do that? But Kieran, I mean, we opened a chest of his grandmother's stuff, great grandmother stuff. And there was like a kimono. And he just shimmied right into it. He was like,
"This is mine now!"
Instantly, right? And claimed it.
Yeah.
So, in other words, whatever their things were, hopefully, me coming along and going, "Yeah, I'm doing this." But the truth is, I've learned from that.
The thing when Kieran found out, we picked him up from summer camp, Camp Winter Rainbow, up in Laytonville, and we picked him up, and you had. That was when you said you were going by Rowan now.
Oh yeah. Huh. Yeah. And
so.
Yeah.
When Rowan told Kieran, "I'm non-binary now and I'm going by Rowan," and Kieran's first response was, "What pronouns do you want me to use?" Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, "What? Weird. What?" Yeah. It's just, "What pronouns do you want me to use?" It was so even nothing mm-hmm. for Kieran.
And then the two of them came up with, like, okay, not calling me daddy,
right?
You know, or dad. They came up with, because we had done the African art, so they found a word from that area of Africa that is gender neutral for parent. Their word for me is a derivative of that word.
Can you share that word?
Yeah, they call me Zali. The word is something like Mzali, and it's just parent, you know, respected parent or whatever. And so they call me Zali, you know.
And so we don't celebrate Father's Day for Rowan. It's yeah. Zali's Day. And we celebrate on non-binary day. So July 14th is Zali Day.
Wow. That is a beautiful story. I mean, wow, that could be a story, really. What you just shared about your kids and your own freedom to be yourself. That's beautiful, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. What about other family? You have other family members in this area that support you or don't support you? I'm just curious about that.
So no other family in the area. My dad has passed. My sister lives in Minnesota. And my experience of her is she's completely supportive. When you were ready, I sent out one of those family holiday letters. And we carefully chose who was important, that, you know, this news was relevant. And whatever their reaction was, it was time to go public. And my sister responded. All she said was, "So cool." That's how it is. And she always asks after Rowan when we talk, you know, maybe once a month. And my mom is up in Butte County and I haven't spoken with her for about 7 years for so many reasons. But she has a photograph of the former president in a refrigerator and things of that nature. So it's easiest on all of us to just let that be quiet. I don't even know if she knows, because I know my sister doesn't share everything. The pipe's not open between she and my mother, but she took over. I cared for our dad as he passed, and so she had to take the other one.
Fair's fair.
Fair's fair.
And Rowan, any family nearby or support system?
Yeah, my mom passed last October. And she'd been dementia for a while before that. Mostly my family lives in Florida and we're not in touch. Various just family things and then various political or religious things.
Your brother knows.
My brother knows because we've had to communicate to deal with my mom's business, her medical and so forth. And I just wasn't willing to maintain, you know, a dead name persona. It would have been like Weekend at Bernie's, you know, where it's my dead self talking. So Joe would see the man he was used to dealing with. But we don't talk. Many people, you know this. One of the blessings of being LGBTQ is while we may lose family over it, we get to choose our family. We get to build families of love, of affinity, of friendship. We get to build them ourselves and choose them. And so I have a chosen family of people that I really love and friends and all that. So that works for me, works better than trying to maintain toxic relationships with people that want to turn the clock back on history. And I don't.
Even though you love the 1500s.
Yes.
Well, that's one thing.
Far enough back.
But they were actually very tolerant. So in many ways.
Listen, before we give you your last question here, I wanted to ask you briefly to share about your enthusiasm. I really appreciate what you're doing with the drumming and the veterans. That's really positive and powerful that you're doing that. And what, if you can briefly share how you got that started and how people can contact you to be a part of that.
Thank you for that question. I used to go out for a lot of hippie things. Even when I was in the Navy here in San Francisco, on the weekends, I was tie-dye. And I'd be at the Grateful Dead, or I'd be at Sproul Plaza, or I'd be at Santa Cruz, or I'd be just on the streets of Berkeley, and all that kind of thing. So fast forward 30 years, where, you know, during which I had a job and a tie and a credit card and all that kind of stuff. More recently, I came up to Drum Circle here in the Bay Area and learned that many, many people had continued to learn and study and share. Teachers, even like my friend Sheridan Gold, who teaches and leads Drum Circles. So I just found, wow, I really love it. I'm really passionate about it. I love it. There are ways in which it's musically beautiful, it's creative, there's community, but there's also ways they're finding medically that that kind of rhythmic activity, that kind of shared rhythmic musical activity can be very beneficial for people that have had trauma and other things, PTSD and so forth. And so currently gotten training from Village Music Circles. I'm training with some other drum instructors, people that have specialized either in the trauma or in the music or in the community or in the fun. And trying to bring it out to a small community here in Roanoke Park at the Veterans Center. So the Vet Center in Roanoke Park has been our host most of this calendar year. And we do it once a month. It's the last Wednesday of the month at the Vet Center. So 6 to 7:30, North Bay Vet Center, which is at 6010 Commerce Boulevard, Suite 145, Roanoke Park. And Rhythm Renaissance.
Rhythm Renaissance Drums at gmail.com is the email for the project.
So the goal is to spread the word for veterans to come and get support and do some drumming and that type of thing.
This circle is not just for veterans. The Veteran Center categorizes it as an outreach event. So friends and family of veterans are completely welcome. We're even expanding it to first responders. So we're reaching out to public safety to offer it so they can join us as well.
And our hope is that as our own skills are up to the task, we can bring more of it to other communities, mm-hmm. people that have been affected by wildfire.
Yeah.
I hope to bring things into the LGBTQ community and things of that nature. But for right now, Rhythm Renaissance, and it's last Wednesday of the month. They'll welcome anybody who comes.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
Wonderful. Is there a charge?
No, it's free.
No, it's free of charge.
Thank you. Well, we do have to close for our interview. So we were wondering if you had last words of wisdom, what you would like people to take away or what you would like people to know. And Sid, could you start?
I can start. What I am most often struck with when people ask me about how you have a relationship that even lasts this long, much less any of the other things we've dealt with. And the bottom line for me is in the world of compassion. Compassion for my partner, compassion for myself. And when things get hard, remembering that no matter what, we love each other. So we're dealing with a hard thing right now, but we love each other. So let's start there and honoring the other person's essence. Essence is a good word. What's that thing in the middle? All that's true and real and core for us. And everything else is a layer that got put on for an important reason, a safety reason. But I love the middle, and I can keep talking to that.
Beautiful. Thank you. Rowan, what do you have?
Without love in a dream, it will never come true.
Without love in a dream,
it will never come true. Without love in a dream, it'll never come true.
We want to thank you so much for being on our show and helping us be richer for knowing you.
Thank you.
It's time to say goodbye. And we want everyone to remember, just like Sid and Rowan, that you too can be living proof that through being visible and telling your story, you can make this world a better world. This is Diana and Sheridan, and we will be back next month. Until then, good night.
I look into the window of my mind. Reflections of the fears I know I've left behind. I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascend.
Support for Outbeat Radio on KRCB-FM comes from listeners and from Rocky, the free-range chicken, and Rosie, the original organic chicken. Air-chilled, non-GMO, locally raised right here in Sonoma County, with no antibiotics ever. More information is available at rockyandrosie.com. You're listening to 104.9 KRCB-FM Roanoke Park and KRCG-FM Windsor, Sonoma County's NPR station. It's 9 p.m. Stay with us. Beale Street Caravan is next.